minutes ago. Looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 701. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about bridges and float trips, telescopes and quiet zones, and articulated locomotives as we go to southern West Virginia. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about West Virginia. I'd like to welcome to the show Ethan Starcher from waywardwings.net, who's come to talk to us about West Virginia. Ethan, welcome to the show. And I say West Virginia, I think you're actually going to talk to us about southern West Virginia more specifically. Is that correct?
That's correct. West Virginia geography is fun because it's a very round state. So saying southern makes people think the southernmost tip. That's not necessarily the case, but
okay.
Yes, southern West Virginia.
And why should someone go to southern West Virginia?
So West Virginia is a quiet state. Up until recently, has thrived off of an economy of natural resources, not so much tourism. But despite that, it's got incredible natural beauty and some of the best state parks that you will find almost anywhere that I've been.
Well, and what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us today?
We are going to start in the southern part of the state near Fayetteville-Beckley area.
Okay.
And move in a northeasterly direction, I guess. You could do it in reverse and have just as good a time, but the end of this trip has you in a bit more remote areas than you start off in. So,
okay.
Starting in the New River Gorge area, this is in the area surrounding Fayetteville, West Virginia, which is about an hour and a half to 2 hours from the state capital of Charleston, where I imagine most people will be flying into if they fly to West Virginia for this itinerary. You can drive. I recommend it pretty close to anywhere on the East Coast, but we'll start in Fayetteville, which is probably most famous for the New River Gorge Bridge, which is a over half mile long single span arch bridge. It used to be the longest single span arch bridge in the world till it was surpassed, as those things tend to happen. And it sits around 875 feet over the river gorge below. And it's sitting in the middle of these rolling hills over a river that is known for some decent whitewater rafting.
Oh, okay. I know so little about West Virginia, I imagine I'll say that quite a lot as we're doing this. Everything is going to come as a surprise to me. I have been now to West Virginia, but haven't seen very much of it.
Even the notable landmarks like the bridge are not something that you're going to see if you're passing through West Virginia on one of the major highways.
Okay.
The bridge is what's featured on the West Virginia State Quarter. So if you're a coin collector, that's what you'll see featured on the State Quarter for West Virginia is the New River Gorge Bridge.
Got it. And you say white water is one of the things that you would recommend we do while we're there?
Absolutely. So in the area of Fayetteville, it's known for the Gauley season, which is the Gauley River, G-A-U-L-L-E-Y. And that's when Summersville Lake, which is about 30 miles from Fayetteville, they open the dam and let it drain, and the water volume coming out of the Gauley River increases to the point that there's class 5 rapids for miles, and it's a hot spot for whitewater fanatics.
And is that a predictable time of year that that happens?
September, October usually is around the time that happens. That's when I would recommend coming to West Virginia anyway, because the fall colors are in swing and seeing the rolling hills covered in bright reds and oranges is beautiful. So if you go that time of year, they have what's called Bridge Day. It's usually around the second weekend in October where they shut down the New River Gorge Bridge for people who want to base jump. So people will jump off the bridge, rafters below, and they usually have food trucks set up on the bridge. You can walk out onto the bridge and enjoy a day 900 feet above the ground.
And when you say base jump, are we have people who are jumping with parachutes rather than bungee jumping?
Both. So you can base jump and you can bungee jump.
And have you done either? And are you strongly recommending we do?
When I say you can do that, I mean
okay, that was you were choosing your pronouns well. Okay.
Yeah. Trained professionals are welcome to base jump and bungee jump, but you would have to do quite a lot of convincing to get me to do that.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's fun to watch, though. Going on Bridge Day is definitely worth it.
And Bridge Day is in September-ish?
It's October, around the second weekend in October. usually.
Got it.
Near the New River Gorge Bridge is Hawk's Nest, one of the state parks I mentioned that West Virginia does really, really well. There's cabins and all the things you'd normally expect from a state park, but they have a little tram ride that will take you down into the New River Gorge, and then you can get on a boat and take a riverboat all the way up to underneath the New River Gorge Bridge, which is quite a sight to see. It's a really fun trip.
Okay.
While you're in Fayetteville, there's a couple things to do. Pies and pints. Craft pizza.
Okay.
Is known pretty much around the state. They got locations in Charleston and Morgantown, but they started in Fayetteville, so good place for a good craft beer. West Virginia has a decent craft beer scene, so it's definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
Artisan pizza, hipster joint. There's also Secret Sandwich Society, also in Fayetteville, and an installation of Tudor's Biscuit World, which is a West Virginia chain restaurant known for their home-style buttermilk biscuits loaded with all sorts of yummy stuff.
Now, you're not violating some sort of confidence by telling us about the Secret Sandwich Society? Or?
I might be. I've never actually been, so it would be my friends who've been and gave it high recommendations.
Got it.
That are violating it, so I think I'm in the clear on that one.
Good to know. Okay, good to know.
Sure. And then while you're in Fayetteville, you can spend a couple days there. There's a place called Adventures on the Gorge that has everything from whitewater rafting to zipline tours, and we'll do a canopy walk on the New River Gorge Bridge with you.
So now, is the bridge, or was originally, I'm guessing, a rail bridge?
So the New River Gorge Bridge was built in, or finished in the 70s, and it was built as a highway bridge. The alternate route used to take 20 to 35 minutes in what now takes about 60 seconds on the bridge. And so you would have to drive down into the valley, sure, cross the river, and come back up the mountain on the other side. And you can actually still drive that road today. They still have it open to where you can drive the whole 20 minutes to see what it used to be like.
Hmm. Okay. And but then you're walking, you can also, there's a pedestrian area of the bridge that you can walk on.
No, so the catwalk is actually underneath the bridge.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't quite catch on as you were talking about that. Okay, hence the word adventures. All right, I've got you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. While you're in Fayetteville, I would recommend checking out Somersville Lake. It is the lake that drains every year to form the Gully River season, but It's surrounded by these huge limestone cliffs that attract climbers and cliff jumpers. I don't know if that's legal, so certainly use your discretion on that, but surrounded by these cliffs, got lots of recreational boating. I've been there to go fishing, and I've never had any luck, but that could be because I'm a bad fisherman, and not necessarily because the fish are bad there, but results vary.
Got it.
And last thing to do while we're in the gorge area is to go to Babcock State Park, which is about 30 minutes from Fayetteville, which is really famous for the Glade Creek Grist Mill. The odds are you probably have seen and might even own a calendar with a picture of this water mill running in the middle of the fall colors. It's an absolutely beautiful old building that actually was built in the 1970s out of some parts that were scavenged from other much older water mills in the area. And it's absolutely beautiful. It sits on this rolling creek in the middle of the forest. It's gorgeous, and I recommend you going to see it. It's completely free. You can even get a tour of the facility and buy some of the cornmeal and ground buckwheat that they prepare on the actual water mill.
Okay.
The next place we want to go is in the direction of Lewisburg, West Virginia, which is about maybe an hour to an hour and a half away from Fayetteville. And we're going here because it's in the middle of what's called the Greenbrier Valley. Now, the Greenbrier Valley is named for the river, but most people have probably heard of the Greenbrier Resort, which is where the PGA Tour meets for.
Okay.
One of their major tournaments every year is major, but one of their tournaments is held every year at the Greenbrier Resort, which is a tacky old resort with a Cold War era bunker built underneath it.
I was going to say, that's what I was vaguely recalling, that this was where some of the leadership in Washington, D.C. would have gone to in the event of the Cold War. Have I got the right bunker?
Yes, you've got the right bunker. I don't know that it was presidential. I think it was the upper members of the Senate.
Okay.
Not sure how it works, but it's really cool. I actually used to work at the Greenbrier in food service, and it's really neat to explore the underpart because the employee tunnels are built about two stories underneath the main resort.
Huh.
The casino of the resort is underground. And so the employee tunnels go underneath the casino, and the bunker is down on that level too. It's a really neat facility and got lots of cool history and stuff. Lots of fun stuff to do with your kids too.
Now, is the tunnels and the history there, is that something that I can do as a tourist, or do I have to know an employee to be able to do that?
The bunker tour you can definitely do as a tourist. They market that pretty heavily. You don't have to stay at the resort to do most of the things at the resort.
Okay.
And in fact, I probably wouldn't recommend staying in the resort because the rooms are expensive and they've got old tacky decor. I mean, if that's your thing, it's pretty cool and they certainly treat you really well there. The staff are amazing. So it's a great place to go. Not great if you're traveling on a budget, though.
Got it.
Lewisburg itself is a little bit away from the Greenbrier and is a historic town with a Civil War cemetery. They have Carnegie Hall in Lewisburg, West Virginia, which I know you're probably thinking of the one in New York.
That is the first one that comes to mind, yes.
Yes, that is what happens. But this Carnegie Hall was funded by Andrew Carnegie.
Okay.
I don't know how much he had to do with it, but it is a performing arts center now, and you can go and get a tour. It was built at least 100 years ago. I know it's an older building, but funded by Andrew Carnegie, pretty neat. Sits really close to the Lewisburg downtown area, where there's lots of boutique shopping and all sorts of old historic buildings, and one of my favorite restaurants in the place called Food and Friends.
Got it.
Which is in the same building as The Market, which is a great sandwich shop. If you're ever in downtown Lewisburg and need a place to eat, I love it there.
Well, and to Andrew Carnegie, who was a steel baron, did a lot of philanthropic work. So I'm not too surprised that there's a Carnegie Hall. There's certainly Carnegie Libraries in, I don't know, 1,000 different towns around the U.S.
that sure.
he paid for with his philanthropic efforts.
Yeah, sure. And I think West Virginians really like to talk up Carnegie Hall as though Andrew Carnegie was so obsessed with the rolling hills and beauty of West Virginia that he had no other choice but to build his second home in Lewisburg. And that's certainly an apocryphal tale, but it is there and it is named Carnegie Hall.
Okay, excellent.
While you're there, the Greenbrier River Valley, so within about an hour of Lewisburg, there's lots of natural wonder. So Lost World Caverns is nearby. So is Organ Cave. These are big sandstone, limestone formations in the ground. Pretty cool to explore. And last I checked, not terribly expensive. So fun thing to do. But what I really think is great about this area is the Greenbrier River itself, which is a huge, slow river that only gets to about neck deep in most of its deepest places. It does get a little deeper, but for the most part, you can wade all the way across the river that is as wide as 300-400 feet, maybe even more in most places. Great for fishing, but I think the thing that really brings out the awesomeness of the Greenbrier River is floating down the river.
Okay.
And so it's a slow moving stream, and just about anywhere on the river, you can rent a kayak or an inflatable tube and put in one place and float for 20 or 30 miles and come out at another place, because most of the towns are built along the river valley. So I think it's possible to set in Marlinton, which is probably about an hour north of Lewisburg to drive it.
Okay.
And so as you float down the river, you could probably float all the way to Caldwell, which is just outside of Lewisburg. That would be just a fun thing to do for the day, is hop on an inner tube and float down the river.
Okay.
Kayaking is also an option if you'd like to be under a little bit more power and maybe make the journey a little faster, but then your arms get tired. So why not just sit in an inner tube and relax? Bring your lunch with you and don't forget sunscreen. Last thing I'm going to recommend is the camping and fishing in the Greenbrier River Valley. My favorite place, and there's tons of camping places. Like I said, the state parks in West Virginia are all really good, top-notch places that usually have no entrance fees. But my favorite place is Watoga State Park.
Okay.
And Watoga is a little bit north of Lewisburg and sits right on the Greenbrier River and is so quiet and peaceful. I think they have maybe three or four different campgrounds that are all reasonably priced, but you camp on the river. And we would always, when my family would camp there, we would do the inner tube thing. We'd rent inner tubes at Watoga. We'd go upstream, put in our inner tubes, and then float for about 15 miles, maybe, until we reached our campsite, at which point we would get off our inner tube and walk our tubes into our campsite. And yeah, it made for a great day, and the water is very relaxing and peaceful. It's a great way to spend an afternoon.
All right. And the scenery that we're in here, so I'm picturing all of this as being a very green valley, lots of deciduous trees, because you mentioned the fall colors, so trees that are going to lose their leaves in the wintertime, although I don't know what kind of trees I would find, and I don't know if I have the right mental image of this area.
Yeah, so it's very green. There's a mix of pine trees and evergreens, but it does change color, especially in lower altitudes, like at the river. It is changing color. Oaks, maples, ash trees, kind of your standard East Coast makeup of trees. It's really pretty.
Okay. Well, and as I picture West Virginia, as I look at a topographical map for it, the hills in West Virginia are predominantly in the area that you're talking about, running northeast to southwest along the border with Virginia. And that's the area that we're focusing on.
That's correct. And so those mountains are actually called the Allegheny Mountains. Whenever we talk about those, they're distinct from the Blue Ridge Mountains or the Smoky Mountains, which are all part of the Appalachian Range. The Allegheny Mountains are the highlands that exist in this area of southeastern West Virginia.
Okay.
And that is actually our next stop on our itinerary.
Ah, okay.
So if you start driving northeast from Lewisburg through White Sulphur Springs and north past Watoga, you will get to what is called the Scenic Highway. I believe its technical name is the Allegheny Highlands Scenic Parkway or something like that.
Okay.
It's about a 25-mile road that puts you only 10 miles from where you started. So you can imagine it's pretty long and winding, but it has some of the best views in the whole state because you're going to be overlooking things like Spruce Knob, which is the tallest peak in West Virginia. And you really get to see a lot, and there's tons of places to pull out and stop and have a picnic and overlook some absolutely beautiful scenery. It's definitely going to take you out of the way, but I think it's worth it.
And you say the tallest peak in West Virginia. We're talking about older mountains here than those of us out west are used to. Do you know roughly how tall we're talking about?
I would guess that it's around 5,000 feet.
Okay, got it.
And that is tall enough to see over nearby peaks, but not so tall that it stands out. So it's not a dramatic peak. If you're expecting to see snow-capped mountains, you're probably on the wrong side of the Mississippi.
Right.
But it really is magnificent. I believe you can get to the top of it. And it's called Spruce Knob because it has some untouched red spruce trees growing at the top of it. So especially in the wintertime, you can spot it pretty easily because it's got this green top to it, whereas all the other mountains are bare of their leaves.
Interesting. Well, thinking of tall mountains, I just learned this week the trivia fact that 75% of all of the land in the U.S. over 10,000 feet is only in one state. And so Colorado has been hoarding all the tall places. So, but in part because you're 5,000 feet when you're in Denver before you go into the mountains.
So right.
They still go up about 5, 10, but something like that. It's just they're going up from 5,000 feet and you're going up from a lot lower than that.
Exactly. And West Virginia is called the Mountain State. Mm-hmm. That's its profession, not because we have the tallest or the most, but because that's the whole state. Pretty much until you get to the northern part of the state, the whole state rolling hills, and the roads are curvy and winding because you're winding in between these beautiful green hills. So the Scenic Highway will put you out in the middle of what's called the National Radio Quiet Zone. So, the Green Bank Telescope sits in the middle of Pocahontas County, and there is...
And it's a radio telescope, I'm guessing?
It is a radio telescope with a huge, I believe the dish on it is a couple hundred feet wide, so it's not by any means hard to miss if you're driving through the area. Mm-hmm. But because it's a radio telescope, all radio communications, including cell phones and most GPS signals, struggle to get a good signal in that area.
Huh.
So once you leave Lewisburg, you should probably plan on not having radio signal for the rest of your itinerary. So let's hope you have satellite radio or your Spotify playlist downloaded, and you don't need to make any cell phone calls for a couple days.
I would have gone with podcasts downloaded, but that's just me.
Whatever keeps you entertained on those long road trips, if it's the amateur traveler or some Skrillex, whatever.
Huh.
So once you get into this area, this is one of the reasons why I think this is such a nice place to visit in West Virginia, is because once you get into this part of Pocahontas County, you are, whether you want to be or not, completely cut off from the world.
Huh.
Obviously, there are emergency services, and I know for a fact that you can make an emergency call on your cell phone in most of these places. So it's nothing to really be worried about, but most of the state, and especially this corner of it, not great cell reception. So once you get here, you're isolated.
And well, and half of that zone is in West Virginia, and half of it is in Western Virginia. I wanted to call it East Virginia suddenly. I'd never heard of this. Interesting.
It is. And so if you're into the science, I would recommend checking out the Green Bank Telescope. Once we get into some of these last stops on our itinerary, it's going to be really hard to miss the telescope because it's in the middle of a valley. And so if you get any altitude at all, you can look down into the valley and see this telescope. So they do tours of the observatory, so go check it out if you're into that kind of thing. But I think probably one of the best stops in West Virginia is Cass Scenic Railroad, which is only about 10, maybe 15 miles from Green Bank. And this used to be an old logging community. And so if you imagine a single company town with a lumber mill, that's essentially all the town of Cass is. But they have a mountain rail system that goes all the way to the top of Bald Knob, which I think is the second or third tallest peak in West Virginia.
Okay.
And you can ride on steam locomotives, logging locomotives, which are a lot shorter and geared a lot slower so that they have more torque and can climb steep inclines.
With heavy loads, okay, sure.
Yes, exactly. And I believe something that's unique about them is that the drive on the locomotive is articulated. So most engines don't have unarticulated. I don't know. I'm speaking outside my expertise here. Anyway, if you're a train buff, this is a must go. And if you're not a train buff, I still think it's a must go, because whether you're there for the trains or the scenery, the fact that this rail line, you sit on the train, it's about 2.5 hours to the top of Bald Knob, maybe a little longer than that. And you're on this railway winding up this mountain with absolutely stunning views of the Allegheny Highlands the whole way. And if you catch it at the right time of year, in the fall, when the colors are on the trees, it's magical. I mean, I would not miss this on your itinerary, because you hop on this train, you ride up the mountain, and then once you're at the top, you can look down into the valley and see the Green Bank Telescope. And it's absolutely gorgeous looking across all the rolling hills from such a high vantage point.
Well, and you mentioned rather fondly the state parks in West Virginia, and this is a state park is what I'm seeing.
It is. This is Cass Scenic Railroad State Park.
Okay.
And so like all the other state parks, there are lodging options. I've stayed in one of their cabins, and what they've done is they've taken the old company town of Cass.
Oh, okay.
All the company homes have been renovated into guest homes. And so you have these 100-year-old wood floor structures with wood-burning stoves that have been retrofitted with flat-screen TVs and hot tubs. It's really interesting. And the town is small. When I say town of Cass, I mean there might be 50 buildings total. Okay. It's really small, and again, really remote, no cell signal here. And these townhomes are for rent, and I don't think they're terribly expensive. So if you're looking for a place to stay, it's a great place as long as you don't mind getting woken up to the sound of a steam whistle in the morning.
When you said 50 buildings, the population of the town is 52. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to keep in mind, most of the people who would populate it are long-term residents who
sure.
haven't sold their house to the park yet.
Right.
There's a little Methodist church in the center of town. I was there on a Sunday and watched maybe 15 people go in for their Sunday service. So it does have some permanent residents, but most of the people who actually work the park facilities are commuting from outside of town.
Yeah, well, it has 52 people and 52 white fenced houses.
Yes, I suppose so. So Cass is beautiful. It's my favorite place. The train rides can be a little pricey. When I last went, I believe I paid around $60 per person.
Okay.
But that was for the Bald Knob trip, which is their longest expedition, I believe. And that takes you all the way to the top of the mountain, lasts about 5.5 hours, and includes a bag lunch in the price of your ticket. So it's not an awful deal. I really don't think it is.
Excellent. Well, and for the record, I am a train buff. So I don't get the opportunity that often to mention that on the show, but I don't know why. The five-year-old is still in me someplace.
So I know.
Still love trains. Always thought I would have a model train by this age, which I don't have, but but still love things like this.
Sure. And I would say I'm a train buff. That doesn't mean I know anything about trains, but I still get goosebumps whenever I hear a steam whistle echoing off the mountains
sure.
for Cass.
Yeah.
That's just such an amazing experience. Yeah, spend lots of time at Cass. It's my favorite place. High point of this itinerary for sure. But I would say that this itinerary would be incomplete without mentioning Seneca Rocks, which is a little farther from Cass. So we're still driving north a little bit into what most people call the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. Seneca Rocks is a huge formation that you can climb or look at. It's really cool, but it's on the way to Blackwater Falls State Park, which is yet again an absolutely wonderful state park that has a couple waterfalls. I know several of them hold some state records for tallest waterfall. So beautiful waterfalls in the middle of a little creek valley in a dense forest. And yeah, like all the other state parks, cheap lodging, great cabins, great campgrounds. And I believe, like the others on this list, that actually getting into the park is free. So Washington, where I live now, charges you $30 a year for their Discover Pass, which isn't a bad deal. But in West Virginia, showing up at the park is completely free. So when you want to do something fun, you have to pay for it. But otherwise, taking a hike or doing a Sunday afternoon picnic is completely free.
Okay.
Yeah, and so once you're in that part of the state, check out Blackwater Falls, check out Seneca Rocks. If you're into rock climbing or hiking, those are two definitely must-see stops, both of them. But otherwise, I think that is a good place to end the itinerary. If you have more time on your hands, you can keep driving north to Morgantown, which is probably one of the few places I would call a city in West Virginia, and get some good food.
Excellent. And is that the end of the itinerary here? We want to get to some of our wrap-up questions.
Yes, I think that's it. There's some general things that you can do in West Virginia that I would highly recommend, and that's spend a day getting lost in one of the state parks.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it's Babcock or Hawk's Nest, which is near the New River Gorge Bridge. Wherever you go, you're going to either be lost in a beautiful, dense, untouched forest, or you're going to be overlooking a river valley. And I don't think either of those is a bad experience. If you like hiking, near the New River Gorge, there is a trail called Endless Wall Trail, which is a great place to see a good sampling of what's happening in West Virginia. If you're going to Cass, the Greenbrier River Trail runs the whole length of the Greenbrier River, I believe, from Cass to Lewisburg, which winds up being, I think, around 100 miles. And so if you would like an easy hike, multi-day hike, that's a great option. Pretty much wherever you go, camping, whether it be in a cabin, a camper, or a tent site, is amazing at all of these state parks. So definitely pick a place, spend a few days there, and if you get bored, move on, because there is plenty to see and do in West Virginia, and it's all very quiet and peaceful and gorgeous no matter what time of year you go.
I do want to get back to something you said a while ago, because I've been Googling frantically because I am a nerd. So I had to know what an articulated locomotive was. And if you picture your model railroad engine, or you picture a real engine if you've been up close to one, you can picture that along one side are a set of wheels and along the other side are another set of wheels, and they're all in parallel and they don't turn.
Correct. Right?
And an articulated engine, some set of them, and there are different styles of articulated engines, will pivot. And you use an articulated engine on a narrow, windy railroad. I don't think I've ever been on a railroad that was so windy that you needed something like that. So I didn't even know they existed. So, but now I do.
Yes. And so I believe the thing at Cass is the Shea locomotive, which is, I believe, Cass has the largest collection of Shea locomotives in the world.
Okay.
Just a particular locomotive manufacturer that specialized in logging locomotives.
Got it.
And so that's what they're running at Cass, is articulated Shea logging locomotives with a top speed of 12 miles an hour, but they can haul several very full log cars up and down the mountain.
Interesting. And now we know. For those of you
now
who just had to know, and that may just be me.
It's okay.
So some of our wrap-up questions. You're standing in the prettiest spot in southern West Virginia. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I think I'm standing at the overlook at the top of Bald Knob, which you can only get to by, I guess, four-wheeler or locomotive.
Okay.
And so you can get there at Cass and ride the train all the way to the top of the mountain, and you just overlook the rolling hills of West Virginia, the Green Bank Telescope. And I think if I had my preference, it would be at sunset. But that's because I'm a bit of a romantic.
I completely understand. And one thing that makes you laugh and say, only in West Virginia.
Only in West Virginia can you spend an entire afternoon floating down the river on an inner tube.
Now, if I go to Nebraska, I can do that in a horse trough. So, you know, which is better, I don't know, but...
I mean, I guess that's up to you. I feel like the inner tube would be more comfortable.
Probably.
But yeah.
But the horse trough, as I understand it, holds more beer. So it really depends on what you're looking for. And it holds multiple people. So it's a social experience. So.
Sure. What I've seen happen is people will rent a third inner tube. So if they're going down with their friends or whatever, you'll rent an extra inner tube. And that one will carry your cooler. I have seen that happen.
Good to know. Important expert tip there.
Yeah, there you go.
Excellent. Our guest again is Ethan Starcher from waywardwings.net. One last question for you, Ethan. If you had to summarize West Virginia or Southern West Virginia in just three words, which three words would you use?
I would say majestic, old, and remote.
And more remote than I realized, since I'm not going to be able to get myself signals. So, at least in parts of it.
It's more remote in a social sense than a physical sense.
Yeah.
But if you wind up in the Eastern Panhandle near Blackwater and Seneca and Dolly Sod's Wilderness, places like that, you can get some nice backwoods. So, it's possible to be physically remote as well.
And your blog is predominantly a photography blog. Do you have any particular posts on West Virginia, though, that we should highlight?
I believe I have one called Heritage from about a year, maybe a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Which I talk about my last hoorah experience at Cass Scenic Railroad before moving across the country to Washington. So if you're looking for a read on what it's like to leave West Virginia rather than go to it, that's a good post.
Excellent. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. Thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for West Virginia.
It was my pleasure, Chris.
In news of the community, I'd like to thank two new patrons who are supporting the show as of this week, including Lynn Skazalski and Caleb Sedum. Caleb said, Chris, I've been listening to your show for 4 years now, and it inspires me to reach new destinations. It's helped me plan and what to see and do on multiple trips and brings the world to me. Thanks for all you do, and my pleasure to support the show and your work. Loved your latest episode on Kilimanjaro. I'm planning to climb next year. That's always cool to know that people are going places. I don't know that Caleb is going because he heard on Amateur Traveler, but I'm glad we could help support that. I also want to thank all the patrons who helped me do a Zoom party last Saturday as we did a little celebration for 700 episodes with patrons of the show, hoping to do those on somewhat of a monthly basis, at least here while we're in lockdown. I also heard this week from Steve Peterson, who wrote about episode 700 on the Arizona National Parks. Congratulations on episode 700. I hope there are many more. It was great to hear Gary talk about the monuments in Arizona. Growing up in Southern California, we spent many years driving to Arizona, exploring the desert and monuments. I've even driven across the snow on Memorial Day weekend and then walked down into Havasupai, and it was beautiful at the bottom. And Steve attached a picture that he took in Wapatki National Monument. And I say that with some knowledge that I got some hard time because we pronounced a few things poorly. And Wapatki may have been one, and I know Saguaro National Park was the other. With that, though, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.